Jesus sent himself to the 11 and said to them, "Go out to the whole world, proclaim the good news to all creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These are the signs that will be associated with believers. In my name they will cast out devils. They will have the gift of tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands and be unharmed should they drink deadly poison. They will lay their hands on the sick, who will recover." This is the gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The details of the life of Paul, which we hear in the Acts of the Apostles, are not entirely in contradiction to things that he writes about himself in his letters. But let's say that they are somewhat contrasting. And I think that on this day, all days, we should recall what a treasure we have in the letters of St. Paul. Because these letters, written between perhaps the late 30s of the first century and sometime like 60, 65 AD, represent the oldest Christian documents that we have. There is nothing else written down on surviving text that we can appeal to find what life was really like in the early church. The Acts of the Apostles is much, much later. It's written by a foreigner in foreign parts who was not even a Jew, a disciple of a disciple, at least, perhaps the disciple of a disciple of a disciple. And in contrast to these letters, the Acts of the Apostles is a heavily overworked piece of writing. It carries within it, if you like, all the experience which lies between its author and the original facts. And the experience of the early church was so explosive and so powerful that it colours everything that was written subsequently. But in these letters, we have the actual voice of Paul the Apostle. And we can trust it to give us a clear picture of his mind, this wonderful body of letters, which is so important to us. As well as the documents of the church, which the church has bound in with the Holy Scripture, these documents are letters of a man, giving with complete honesty his own thoughts, and it's at the same time his own confusions and struggles. There's so much in these letters which shows that Paul's mind was evolving. He was struggling with his own past, his Jewish past, and his Christian belief now, trying to find the way of fitting together in one personality so many different strands of tradition. And one thing we can say about him is that the unifying of his own mind, the working out of his own faith, was not something which he saw as a broken biography. He didn't proceed as a Jew for 30 years and then experience 100% turn, where he called his previous religious life nonsense. Quite the reverse. He believed that to know Jesus was to know the Messiah, the one towards whom his ancient faith had always been pointing. Jesus didn't arrive, as Matthew tells us, to abolish the law and the prophets, but to complete them. And Paul knew that in following Christ, he was perfectly fulfilling his Jewish past. He was being, in fact, a good Jew by following Jesus. And his great picture of what had happened, the one that comes from the most mature of all his letters, the letter to the Romans, is the image of the olive tree. He sees Israel as an olive tree planted by God and endowed with wonderful life, a rich sap which rose indefatigably from the roots which God had planted. And what had happened when Jesus came into the world was that some of the branches of the olive tree had separated themselves from it. The Jews who refused Jesus separated themselves from the tree. And in that place, God grafted Gentiles. Not real shoots of the olive, but foreign shoots, wild shoots, who by the grace of God were picked up and given a share in the richness of the olive tree. In the Acts of the Apostles, this moment is dramatized when Paul and Barnabas find themselves rejected by the synagogue, and they say plainly, "We had to preach the word of God to you Jews first, but since you have rejected the good news, since you do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we must turn to the pagans." And the pagans were delighted to hear the gospel and to welcome it. And so, what do we say about this moment which is dramatized by the Acts of the Apostles as a blinding light on the road to Damascus, and which Paul talks about in far more measured terms? He says, in the fullness of time, it pleased God to show his Son in me. And in that moment, Paul the Jew became Paul the Christian Jew and welcomed the Messiah and became his servant. In this time when we pray for the unity of Christians, we should remember that all our distances and barriers and separations in the eyes of God are of very little importance. And that when the truth of God is revealed, all our distinctions between people vanish. Paul sensed that overwhelming completeness which had finally come to the world in Christ. And he counted all the distinctions of his past as so much rubbish, if only he could have Christ and a share in him. So let us pray that the Jesus, the Son of God, who overwhelmed Paul and made him a Christian, may guide all Christians to one another, even though their eyes may be blinded for a time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the departed, especially for Father Edward, whom we are offering Mass today. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Reading from the